Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cross Examination. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Shane. Today we'll be answering your questions on the Brian Schaefer case. On the Brian Schaefer case, the man who went missing 15 years ago in Ohio while bar hopping with friends.
All right, let's hop into the case recap. So, this was our pilot episode, so if you'll remember, Brian Schaefer came home on college vacation to his hometown in Ohio. He had dinner with his father and then went out with his friend Clint to go bar hopping. They went to several bars and then met up with their friend Meredith, who was a friend of Clint's, not Brian's. And then several bars later, they returned to the starting point, the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Brian and Clint hit on some ladies, and then Brian goes missing. Brian's family and girlfriend, scumbag alert, searched for months and nothing turned up. Police questioned everybody at the bar and nothing came up, and no evidence was ever found.
Now that the recap is over, let's go ahead and talk about the case a bit. First, I think we both have a question to answer. What happened to Brian Schaefer? It's really tough for me to speculate, because a lot of avenues have already been searched. You know, they brought out the dogs, everything was just searched so thoroughly. But for me, I think the biggest possibility was Brian just walked away from his life, and you know, that he was known to do that from his friends, and he was in a really weird spot. He was under a lot of stress. His mom just died. I think that it's a very strong possibility that he just threw in the towel. You know, it brings up a follow-up question of why did he never resurface? And I think that's kind of a simple one, where it's just too hard to come back after you're gone for so long. Like, your friends and your family, like, you hurt them, and, you know, they've already moved on. Like, they're still hurting, but they've moved on. And it would be really difficult for him to come back and just try to explain all of that. And it's just easier to just keep going with what you've already done.
Yeah, that brings up a super weird point. I touched on it a little bit in the episode, but Brian's bank account was never touched after the fact. And I think that is a good thing for him to do if he did disappear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like himself just walking away. Because that's the first thing that people obviously will look at besides just calling him on his phone. So when I saw that his bank account had been hadn't been touched, obviously I had no access to it, but from records stating that, it's weird to think that you would leave all of that, especially with his mother's will as well coming through, I would assume.
Right.
That money coming through. So that in itself is strange. Personally, for me, what I think happened to Brian, I think Clint had something to do with it. And even possibly Meredith may have taken Brian's life, and possibly even thrown him into the Olentangy River, which was the river that ran not too far from the bars that they were going to. I also was really interested in this case, and it's part of the reason why I chose this case as a starting point.
Okay.
Was the Smiley Face Killer. When I was first deciding for this episode, what the pilot episode would be, I could have gone something super mainstream, but I wanted to do something kind of out there.
All right.
As well as something that could draw comparisons to other cases. And the Smiley Face Killer was one of the ones where I was like, this matches a lot of the killer's MOs, with him being a white, college age, attractive young male, kind of even the jock type as well.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to get into that, the Smiley Face Killer had thrown all of his or hers victims into rivers or bodies of water. Obviously, Brian's body was never found, or else this would probably be a case closed.
Right, yeah.
But
coming soon.
Yeah, case closed, coming soon. you never really know with this one. I know that the FBI has classified that the Smiley Face Killer isn't real, but...
Right, yeah, that's...
Like I said in Cold Case, like, people do lie. I mean, the FBI, I don't think, would be completely honest with us if there was a mass killer on the loose.
Right, yeah.
Just
not to worry everybody.
Trying to murder everyone. But yeah, that's personally what I think happened to Brian.
Yeah, definitely some of the stuff that just makes this a huge mystery. It's just so weird. And I find it, like, incredibly weird that the security footage never caught him leaving the bar. Like, it's 2006. Like, it's definitely not as technologically advanced as we are now. But there were still cameras everywhere. There was, like, phone cameras at the time still. And, like, it's just difficult for me to grasp that he was just disappeared. And, you know, no surveillance from any other business caught him leaving or anything like that. I'll tell you what, like, I'm not typically going to put on a tinfoil hat, and I'm not going to outright state that aliens may have been involved in this, but people don't just vanish into thin air without a trace. That's all I'm saying. Something weird happened, and I don't know.
I'm very glad you said that. Because when I was doing research for the case, one of the things that came into my mind, because I had thought about starting a segment where I personally put my own beliefs into the podcast and maybe state who I thought the killer was or
right.
what had happened. And aliens did cross my mind for like half a second. And I was like, you know what? It could be. And then I was like, No.
That's, yeah, I'm not saying it was aliens, but I'm not saying that.
But
you
it's
know.
Aliens. Yeah. But, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. The weirdest thing for me, kind of like you were talking about before, was leading up to the case, Brian himself. So Brian's mom, like you said, had passed very recently before he came back from college. And he was actually so distraught that he showed up late to his own mother's funeral. And Brian was also apparently telling his girlfriend at the time, Amy? I forget her name. It's been a while, that she should just move on and break up with him. And these are
very... Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, these are, like, very possible signs of depression. And that could obviously have made Brian to maybe leave his life behind. I think the other big weird thing that caught my eye a lot were those really weird phone calls.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of getting a ping, yeah.
Yeah, because if Brian's phone was dead, obviously it depends on how many times his girlfriend was calling him. But I feel like after a certain point, that, like, it's not just a glitch in the system. I feel like maybe something did happen with his phone. But obviously I don't think Singular wants any bad press. So they're probably like, oh, it was just a glitch. It's just a glitch.
Yeah.
And I could obviously... understand that from a certain point of view, but I could also put the counter argument of, hey, if you found this man, do you know how many people are going to start signing up for Singular?
Right, absolutely.
I mean, look at us, we're giving them plenty of free press right now.
yeah, and you know, and for me, like, you never, you know, the police couldn't track his phone because he didn't have the GPS active, and you know, I'm kind of the, you know, anti Big Brother looking after me, so I don't have my GPS active, but I might rethink
neither.
That. I don't want to go missing and then just, you know, well, see you later. Too bad you didn't have it turned on.
Too bad you didn't have your GPS turned on. We could have really found you. But, yeah, those were some of the very big weird things that I think were on my mind during the case, as well as I did want to quickly mention this is not confirmed. So I don't want to put a lot of weight into this, but
okay.
Brian was a medical student, and at the time, and I don't even know if it is still popular today, but at the time, one of the more popular or normal things to do if you were a medical student was cocaine to kind of keep you up. You got long classes, you have long study nights, and cocaine obviously keeps you sharp. I guess. Don't do drugs, kids. Keeps you sharp for a little bit. But so, that could possibly... I saw a few people online talking about that, so I wanted to really quickly bring it up because it is a possibility that drugs could be involved in Brian's in Brian's life, and if they are, that could possibly be another reason. If you want to go down that dark rabbit hole, he could have owed somebody some money and needed to disappear really quick.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. Yeah, especially you're already in student loan debt, and you got other debt going on, you know, just get the heck out of Dodge.
Especially with medical school, because what is that, 8 years of medical school that you have to go through?
Oh yeah, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, so wouldn't want that. But with all the weird stuff and me and Shane kind of getting our stuff out of the way, let's hop into the nitty-gritty, and it's time for the cross-examination. In this section, we'll hear some of the questions and theories from you viewers that you've sent in on our Discord server, and we try to answer them to the best of our abilities. So, let's go ahead and get started with the first question.
This first question is from yours truly. I was wondering, if Brian was never seen on camera leaving the building, how could he have gotten out? Were there any alternate exits found? Maybe a hidden storage room? I don't know.
So I'm glad that you said this, because I didn't get to talk about this a lot in the pod. And I wanted to bring it up again. So the only exit near to the Tuna Saluna was the exit door that led straight to the straight drop, which was like the under construction area where I was talking about the sheriff, where he went on the podcast and was like, yep, he probably fell down there, blah blah blah, and was super shady about it. However, if Brian was not drunk enough, or if Brian was sober enough, I should say, and sneaky enough to sneak past the cameras, which is very unlikely at this point. They have been to 5-7 bars, I believe, and had a drink at each. So he's at least seven deep right now.
Yeah, minimum.
So plus a shot back at the Ugly Tuna. So he's at least 7 and a shot down. So it's very unlikely that this would happen, but he could have snuck past the cameras and went to this odd side door, which leads to a side alley, which leads straight to an open road where he could have walked away. His car was, I believe, on the other side of the little plaza that they were in. But I am glad that that was brought up, because I didn't get to talk about that one a lot, and I wanted to mention that really quickly, because that is another possibility that can be led into, obviously. So it is possible.
Just weird that that's to me still, I can't get past the fact that like he was just not seen leaving and then was just gone. Just crazy.
Yeah. And the camera's angles too, if you look up the footage, it's on YouTube or some other places as well, and I know that there's definitely YouTubers who have made videos about it.
Right.
The footage that is shown of Brian Clinton Meredith, one, you can obviously tell that at least two of them are drunk.
Yeah. Okay.
And the camera angles are very, very awkward.
Okay.
So one of the cameras, you obviously it's facing the Tuna Saluna. Obviously these cameras are like kind of focused on the entrances and exits of the Tuna Saluna, obviously that being one of the main attractions up at the top of the little escalator that they have there. So they wanted to make sure that that's not getting robbed, or if any fights occur outside of it, they want to make sure that they have footage of it. But that was one of the other things that kind of piqued my interest, because although it would be hard, it's not impossible to walk around them.
Right. Okay. Very cool. So,
very good question from our lovely Shane.
You can't see, but I'm blushing.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Our next question comes from our producer, actually, Leilani Jade. Why would Clint refuse to take the lie detector test? Could he be guilty, or is he innocent?
That is a very good question. It's, to me, it's kind of, I'm a little split here. Like, I can kind of understand it. Like, while Clint lawyering up is one of the biggest mysteries in the case, and, you know, most of Brian's family and his girlfriend think that Clint had something to do with him going missing. It, to me, it seems like lawyering up before just submitting yourself to that is a very smart thing to do. That's always kind of like hammered in, like, don't say anything until you get a lawyer. And it just seems very sensible to do, especially if you're considered a suspect. And you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to get strong-armed by interrogators into saying something that you didn't mean, that they're all of a sudden like, oh, what did you just say that for? And so you're kind of protecting yourself first and foremost. But also, like, if you're not guilty, just kind of go into it. I don't know. It's tough for me. And I don't think we'll really ever know unless he being Clint, decides to come forward and explain that decision. But at this point, it seems unlikely.
Yeah. Like you said, Clint lawyering up, super, super smart idea. Even if you are guilty, even if you are innocent, mm-hmm. I feel like a good example of this was Making of a Murderer, I believe, the documentary that came out, oh goodness, quite a few years ago now. But when Making a Murderer came out, it showed that a police can strong arm you into forcing confessions out of you.
Right, yeah. Just to get the case over and closed, make them look really good. And that's not to say that that's what happens all the time, but it can happen, and you need to protect yourself. And you know, if I don't know what Clint's family life was like, but if you've got a family, like, you don't want to go into that, and then all of a sudden you're behind bars for something you didn't actually do just because you slipped up when somebody was talking to you.
Yeah. And then a good secondary question that I got was almost relating to this. What would Clint's motivation be? And personally, I can't really find anything.
Yeah.
Clint and Brian were very, very good friends from a very young age. They both went to the same school together. Both of them were very, very good friends. And I don't think that he would have the motivation to.
Yeah.
Because unless there was something happening behind the scenes, maybe Clint was jealous of Brian's relationship with his girlfriend, or
that's the only thing that I could think of. But even then, I feel like she would have said something if he had been like moving in toward her, and then all of a sudden her boyfriend goes missing.
Yeah, and even then, like you said, just it would be super obvious that it was him. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could make the argument of, because I'm seeing it playing out in my mind. If you'll follow me on a little tangent.
All right.
Clint. So Brian was obviously hitting on a few women that night.
Right.
Obviously,
I think
he was a little bit drunk. Brighton Zatko, I believe her name was who the woman Brian was hitting on. And obviously, if you're Clint, and let's say you do have a motivation of you're jealous of Brian's relationship with his girlfriend, and you want to be with Brian's girlfriend, and you see Brian hitting on another woman, I feel like that could be like the nail in the coffin, maybe. I don't think it would be enough for Clint to go, I'm going to make you disappear.
Yeah.
But I think it is enough motivation for him. No, you're all good. I think it is enough motivation for him to go into it and be like, look at what your boyfriend's doing.
Yeah. Which does bring up another point, though. If Brian's hitting on girls, maybe one of them has a boyfriend off to the side seeing this stranger come up and hitting on his girlfriend at some point through the night and follows him from bar to bar or something. I don't know. That just brings up another...
That's a good point, actually. I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, because if he's going bar to bar, you know, I don't know.
We need to follow that man. We're going to make the best disappearance ever.
Yes. All right. If you got nothing else on that one, that brings us to our next question by Fire Phoenix 0013, who asks, who were the other suspects, even unlikely, and why did they eliminate them as suspects?
So this one is a very easy, super straightforward question. Everyone that night at the bars became a suspect, from Clint to any of the bartenders, basically. Most of them were eliminated on just based on the fact that they didn't talk to Brian all night.
Right,
And had no relation to him. But there were a few people that he did talk to that were questioned. Obviously, Meredith, Clint's friend, and the two ladies that Brian and Clint were flirting with. However, they were eliminated just based on police questioning them and them not really having a motivation.
Yeah.
Clint, however, was never really let up on as a suspect.
Okay.
So police were really pushing the Clint angle, especially when he decided to lawyer up. Because before he lawyered up, he was very cooperative with police. But as soon as they asked him to take the lie detector test, he immediately just got his lawyer, which is obviously a smart thing to do. But that can look suspicious.
Yes. Yes.
To obviously a family or a lawyer or not a lawyer or police. But,
right.
Yep. There were quite a few suspects, but they were narrowed down fairly quickly.
And that's exactly it. Like, if you're cooperative and then you clam up, that does not look great for yourself, especially, you know, lawyering up before that would have been better, and then but you know, you don't know how these things are going to go, and then all of a sudden you make one choice and everyone's like, oh, why did you do that?
Yeah, let's look into him.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
No. And I think that almost helps the angle a bit too, just like a bit more like in court. It probably wouldn't be admissible in court, but I think it's enough to make a jury of your peers go, that's very strange.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so I can clearly see why they never really let up on Clint, because maybe he did know something, but I don't think in the end, I don't think Clint did anything to hurt Brian.
Yeah.
Just personally for me.
Okay.
But did you have anything else before we move on to our final question?
No, I would like to just, you know, kind of back up what you just said. I feel the same. Excuse me. I've got some friends that I've known for a very long time, and you know, it's just, I don't know the motive there. You know, unless there was, like you said earlier, something behind the scenes that was going on that Clint was finally like, all right, that's it. You feel like Brian may have picked up on that before they went out drinking for the night or something, or, you know, seven drinks in, maybe they would have had their talk and just thrown it out then and there. I don't know. Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah. I think it would just be a lot more likely in the end. I think after our next question, we can kind of give out a final verdict on what we 100% think happened, but
right.
I think we're kind of giving it away a bit here. with our last question, it's from Janonymous on Discord. Was Brian's other friend Meredith ever considered a possible suspect?
Meredith was in fact considered a suspect, like everybody else at the bar and everything at the time. She was eliminated due to having a strong alibi for when Brian went missing, though. However, there is a theory that Meredith and Brian, Meredith and Clint were working together, and at some point Meredith drugged Brian, and Clint, you know, took care of him, and you know, that's just a theory. There's not really a lot of backing to that, but
yeah.
It is an interesting path.
Yeah, that theory that Meredith maybe drugged Brian, it's very, very weak.
Yeah.
But obviously you can't rule it out. Brian's body was never found, so we don't know what really happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about, we don't really know the motivation behind anything that Meredith could have done. Obviously,
right.
She kind of just met up with these guys
halfway
through. I think the only thing that she has going against her is really that she's Clint's friend and not Brian's. So I think that's like the only thing that would be a possible like going against her,
right? And then that goes back to the same, like, if she's Clint's friend, then that would still be, what is Clint's motivation? and how strong is Meredith's dedication to Clint to just, you know, basically murder someone she really doesn't really know.
Exactly.
So.
Well, with all that said, Shane, do you want to give your final verdict on what you think happened to Brian Schaefer?
Aliens.
Aliens?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I'm 100% with you.
No, I don't know, man. It's tough to say. I'm just going to go back to what I said in the beginning, and I think that, you know, I've read stories about people who just kind of give up their life, and they give up all their possessions, and they just go. And so it'd be interesting to see if he studied any kind of survival techniques or anything, or maybe he just moved on and picked up a new life somewhere else. And I don't know. I think it's just, I can see that motivation. I feel like he's, you know, he's got a lot going on, and you know, sometimes it's just easier not to say goodbye.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on this one. I think the only other really big thing it could have been is maybe Brian was super drunk and fell into a river or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, Brian's known for walking around by himself. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that kind of concludes this first episode of Cross Examination. So let's go ahead and end it off.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to our very first ever episode of Cross Examination. Next time, we'll be covering Jack the Ripper. If you would like to have your question read in that episode, get it posted to the cross-examination section of the Discord.
Awesome. And speaking of Discord, you can go ahead and find that in the description. On the Discord, we have auditions to be characters in any of the Cold Case Chase episodes, as well as a community of chasers that love talking about unsolved cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, if you would like to become a member and support the podcast, the link will be in the description as well. Anything is appreciated. And that about covers it. Remember to leave a 5-star review, and we'll see you next time on Cross Examination.
Thanks, guys.